Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna have ya. Tanaka's Fakata, Jag like Michael Walker. Polanco and Franco,
ooh, where'd you go to ISO? Ooh, they're gonna get into first place. Check Bannon Baldata and swing it strike rates. Raisins are shriveled grapes. Here's Adam's happy place.
When Adam is away, boys will something, something, something. No Adam Azer today. It's Chris Towers, Heath Cummings, and Scott White. What's the name for the three of us? There's Kratom and
No. We're still non-zero chance. Adam's just not here. We're going to play all the hits today, though. We're going to play the prospect report.
Okay.
We're going to play all the non-zero chance hits. We don't need a new name.
Adam's just the tambourine.
Wow.
He's more than the tambourine.
He's the lead singer.
We're just gonna go instrumental here.
No, Chris is gonna sing.
It could be
sometimes
Chris is gonna screech for
Chris
us.
Chris is gonna screech.
It could be a jam.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to play a new song, called "Let's Catch Heath Up on What Happened in Baseball." Would you like to tell the people why you were not able to watch any baseball last night, Heath?
I went to a concert. I tweeted through it. I think the people probably largely saw that. But, yeah, it was a country music concert in a country music dance hall.
Yeah.
And it was quite an experience. They did not – they had good beer, which
okay.
was good.
Okay.
I was able to drink Hop Gun.
Oh, that's good beer.
But then once the concert started and I was up at the stage
– can't go get beer.
You can. There was a little bar right next to me, but all they had was a different type of beer that is not as good.
You can't go. If you're up at the front, what, are you going to push through people to get back to your seat?
I did it like three times.
That's...
I had no seat.
Bad luck.
No seat. We were just standing in the mosh pit.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Was there any moshing?
There was no moshing.
Was there any line dancing?
There was a lot of line dancing.
Did your pearl snaps come undone?
Only one.
Okay. Scott, how's it going?
Hey, Chris. I'm excited about
you
something this morning.
You are excited. You want to just... It's the biggest news of the day.
Yeah, there's about to be a Mack attack. A Mack truck is coming through the league here. Mack Williamson.
More like William's dad.
Yeah, because like I'm
big and strong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's your large adult son. Is
no,
that how that
your,
joke works?
He's
my
large
adult son.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
In awe at the size of this unit.
I am really disappointed.
Why?
You were so excited. You had a twinkle in your eye when you walked in this morning before you even knew the Mack Williamson news.
Uh huh.
This Mack Williamson is the second biggest news of the day.
Oh,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The biggest news of the day is Scott White catching his first dong ever.
Oh, yeah! Congratulations!
We all picked Mets to homer off Matt Wisler, and I picked the right Met.
He didn't even homer off Matt Wisler, did he?
Yes,
okay.
He did. It was one of the two hits Matt Wisler allowed. So I'm sure we'll talk about Matt Wisler today. But I want to get back to Mack Williamson here, okay? Because he...
deep sleeper before the season for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, deep sleeper. Like, deep sleeper. I did draft him in a couple 15-team leagues. I've since dropped him in those. But, you know, deeper leagues than that, 24 teams, NL only. I got a lot of Mack Williamson out there. And he worked with the same hitting guru who made Justin Turner what he is today. Had a huge spring. Then went to AAA and hit .487 with 6 home runs and 50 at-bats. It looks like Hunter Pence is going on the DL, so Mack Williamson is up, hopefully to play every day. And, like, part of my enthusiasm is because this is somebody who's a complete afterthought in fantasy. 27-year-old, seems like opportunity had passed him by. Nobody's interested in him. So I want to clarify, like, this is a low-probability play. I'm not picking him up. In all my 12-team leagues, he would need a big game or two for me to do that. But anything 15 teams or more, this is the kind of player I think worth getting excited about. Because while the probability is low, I think the upside is really high. Ton of raw power that the scouts always thought was there. And just hopefully this adjustment is helping him tap into it.
So what you're saying is not necessarily something we should have led the show off with.
Not necessarily.
Heath, would you like to poo-poo on it for, let's say, 8 seconds?
Weren't we playing a game where you guys going to tell me what happened last night?
Mack Williamson got called up.
That happened after I got to work today.
It's happening.
Okay. Yes. Well, it's
all right.
It's fine.
We are going to tell Heath what happened last night. We are going to talk about pitchers from last night. A lot of interesting stuff happen, including Matt Harvey maybe losing his job. We're going to talk about most added players, some prospects. We're going to preview week five. We're going to get to your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. But let's start with some injuries news and notes. Mickey Callaway has not decided if Matt Harvey will make his next start. That's because Matt Harvey was bad yet again yesterday. Gave up 6 runs on 8 hits, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 6 innings of work. It's amazing they let him get through 6 innings. He was laboring through this start. I think he only had 5 swing strikes last night. Is Matt Harvey done?
Like, if you want a clear indication that Matt Harvey's done, Team Scam spite dropped him in the middle of that game last night. So
it wasn't a spite drop. We were looking for an opportunity to drop Brandon Belt. But in a 16-team league, I was on board with dropping Harvey, which means I'm basically done with Harvey at this point, I think. The velocity's only gotten worse since a year ago. None of the glowing narratives we were seeing this spring have really followed him to the diamond, and I think it's been long enough. It was worth holding on to that hope, as high as the upside is and as troublesome as his rehabilitation was, but I think it's enough. I think it's time to move on.
And Jason Vargas working his way back, so I would assume somebody in the Mets rotation is pitching for their job. Matt Harvey may have lost that competition, but you know, Steven Matz was not very good, just the day before? So
yeah, he has a lot of strikeouts this year, but it's kind of fluky. And Zach Wheeler just got called up from the minors, has had one really good start, one so-so start. So there's, it's not necessarily going to be Harvey, but the fact Callaway, who was his biggest fan in spring, it seemed like, he didn't give him a vote of confidence. I don't think that bodes well for him.
All right, Ryan Braun hopes to play Friday. He was able to get in the lineup or get in a pitch-hitting appearance.
He was in the lineup
Thursday.
He was just in the lineup later in the game.
One time.
He was not in the starting lineup.
He did hit a home run, so his calf injury does not seem to be bothering him too much. Tommy Pham did not start Thursday as well, but he was also able to pinch hit, so his groin injury does not seem too serious. Does that mean Tyler O'Neill is just going to be a bench guy for the next week and then get sent down?
Yep.
I think so.
Freddie Freeman was in the lineup after his hit-by-pitch on Wednesday. He went 2-for-3 with 2 singles, did not hit a home run off of Matt Harvey. So, I don't know. Is he okay? If he didn't hit a home run off Matt Harvey, he's fine.
I'd be worried.
Xander Bogaerts went through agility drills on Thursday. That's a good sign as he progresses back from his fractured ankle. Luis Perdomo was optioned to AAA. Kendrys Morales is coming off the DL Friday. Ken Giles has been dealing with a back injury. So does that make you feel better about Ken Giles, or do you think the back injury is a result of his poor performance rather than the other way around?
I like excuses when they seem like they're valid excuses. I like making excuses for players who I think are good, and I think Ken Giles is a good pitcher. And this might be reason why he struggled. His stock is still down just because the Astros have been experimenting with other options in the ninth. But
if he's right.
Yeah, I mean, Hinch has said he still expects Giles to lead the team in saves.
Zach Britton will throw off a half mound Friday, so that's a good sign in his recovery from an Achilles injury.
He had an Achilles injury, and now they're having him throw off a half mound? Shouldn't they just use a full-size mound? That seems risky.
I don't understand the joke.
Like half the mound's just not there?
I don't. It's a shorter mound, Heath.
Oh, how that just half the mound cut the other way.
Oh boy.
Ryan Healy will begin a rehab assignment at AAA today. I wrote that awkwardly. Hunter Pence is dealing with a thumb injury. Mack Williams will get called up, as I already said, in case you missed it the first time. Thank you, Heath. And let's look at the most added players around baseball at CBS Fantasy sites. Jed Lowrie is up 42%. He's up to 83%. How long do you think that lasts? Is he the kind of guy that you just ride while he's hot and drop as soon as he cools down?
I think it's going to last. I think that you need enough players of his position in roto leagues that he should be owned. And I think he's going to be good enough in points to where he should mostly be started.
Yeah, when he's healthy. I mean, he was top 12 in that format last year. He was top 20 or 21, I think, in Roto.
I think he was 21st.
Which, you know, obviously you start more hitters. So that, you could argue he was borderline rosterable just based on last year's numbers. Now, he's on a 50-homer pace right now. If he had half as many home runs as he does, he'd still be way ahead of what pace he should be on. But, you know, even as a 15-homer guy who gets on base and hits a lot of doubles, there's value there.
Would you rather have Jed Lowrie or Christian Villanueva, who has also been added in 42% of leagues? He's up to 58%.
Lowrie for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Villanueva is going to hit more home runs, I think. But there are questions about his skill set otherwise.
All right. Chad Bettis is up to 42%. He's 35% up. Third most added player. Was he a two-star pitcher this week or... What's going on there? That doesn't make any sense.
He's been awesome. No chance I would be adding him. I can't think of a league that I would add him in.
Scott?
What? Who was it again? Sorry.
We're good.
Moving on. Joey Lucchesi is up 32%. He was only 49% owned a week ago. We think he should be universally owned, right? 10-team,
99%.
Yeah.
Francisco Cervelli up 29% as well. Hyunjin Ryu is actually up to 68%. Do you think that's too high? His velocity is actually up just a tad this season. I think it's about a mile per hour over last April. So that's a good sign for a guy who has dealt with a lot of shoulder issues in the past couple of years. And before dealing with those shoulder injuries, has been a good pitcher.
Yeah, he's off to a good start. I frequently gave him the benefit of the doubt last year, and it never seemed to last very long, so I'm skeptical of him even now. But with a good offense backing him, it seems like he's getting priority every time through the rotation over Kenta Maeda, so you don't worry about him missing turns so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's fringy mixed league material.
He is a guy who doesn't have a super high ceiling, but he does have a career like 3.3 ERA. So
yeah, and really good at his best, really good control. Like, you expect a low whip from him.
And the most dropped players, obviously, two guys who are having Tommy John surgery, Tylan Walker and Denelson Lamet. Josh Harrison broken hand.
Sure.
Tyler Malley down 16%. Are we less interested in Tyler Malley now?
Scott dropped him as well in our 16 team league.
For Mac Williamson this morning, without asking Adam's permission.
Without asking Azer.
You beg forgiveness rather than ask permission. Am I right, fellas?
That's correct.
That is the saying. Marco Gonzalez down 16%. He was actually pretty good last night. Are we giving up on Marco Gonzalez?
Giving up? I mean, I don't have a lot of hope for Marco Gonzalez. He did have 8 strikeouts and 4 2/3 innings. On 8 swinging strikes. Not a hard thrower. I don't think has a lot of bat missing potential. And it's a good start where he went 4 2/3 innings. So
that's a no.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Thursday's standouts. Heath, will...
Oh, is this where we play the game?
Where
you guys tell me what happened?
On Scott and I. But Scott, do you have a standout today?
Sure, I do. I have several standouts to tell you about. The first will be...
I got to stand up.
Jamer Candelario.
Jamer Candelario hit a home run yesterday, right?
He did hit a home run.
Third of the season for Jamer Candelario.
Yep. He's 9-for-17 with 3 homers and a triple over the recent stretch here. And, I mean, you look at what he did last September for Detroit. A guy who walks a lot. I don't know that he's going to have the big power you expect from a corner infielder, but I think he has like 20 homer upside.
3 homers in his last 4 games.
Like, he might be the Jed Lowrie of third baseman.
Okay.
In that, at the start of things, when there's, you know, the world is your oyster and you're only seeing potential in everybody, you're not seeing... the downside of any, like, you could pass over Candelario, but by mid-season,
I was trying to figure out where you were going with it.
By mid-season, he's going to be, if he's healthy and performing like I think he should, he's going to be in a lot of lineups.
That little grain of sand has turned into a slightly more interesting grain of sand.
Yes.
Jamer Candelario. Heath, you were going to say you had a standout.
Yes.
I couldn't tell if you
Lewis
were being
Brinson.
Serious. Lewis Brinson, double dong.
Double dong for Lewis Brinson, and there's a little narrative here. We like the story, right?
Well, revenge game.
Well, it was the revenge game, but also he sat out their entire series in New York to get his head right. He got his head right. He hit two dongs. Lewis Brinson has been miserably bad in the major leagues. That has continued this year. These were his first two extra base hits of the season. He struck out 20 times in his first 15 games. But there's still so much upside. I don't think there's as much upside as we thought before the year because he's only attempted one steal and he's not really looked that interested in running. But
and he was like, I think it was 0 for 4 on stolen base attempts in spring training. So
that part might be gone. But
yeah, it might also just be they need to get his head right in general. You know, his swing's been off. He's hitting a ton of ground balls. This could be the start of something interesting.
But I also think he doesn't have to run to be valuable in fantasy. Like he could just hit like he did, not quite in AAA, but
sure. Anybody else have any standouts? Scott, you said you had several. Or we can just move on to what I think was a really interesting pitching day. And kind of want to start ranking some guys.
Let's go for it. Let's get into it.
All right. So some pitchers who were very good last night. Jake Arrieta, 10 strikeouts, 7 innings, 1 hit. He's down to a 2.04 ERA in 3 starts with 16 strikeouts, 6 walks. John Lester turned it around. He's got a 3.10 ERA. 18 strikeouts in 20 and a third. He went 6 shutout with 7 strikeouts yesterday. And Charlie Morton, 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, 7 innings against the Seattle Mariners, has a 0.72 ERA with 33 strikeouts, 6 walks, and 25 innings. And Zach Greinke, 1 earned run in 7 innings, 3 hits, only 2 strikeouts, but he's got 23 and 24 innings. I want you to rank those four pitchers: Jake Arrieta, John Lester, Charlie Morton, and Zach Greinke.
Greinke's number one for sure.
Yes. And there, before the season, he was probably 50 spots ahead of the other three.
Not for Scott. I think Scott, no.
Not 50 spots. Not 50, more like 30. Okay. Maybe 20. No, 20. More like 20.
Lester was in my top 25.
Yeah.
Arrieta.
Oh, no,
was,
I was talking about overall. Oh. Not a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, you may be right about that. All right. So Greinke number one, right? I am tempted to make Morton number two here.
That's where I think I would go.
Yeah.
Heath, you were the bigger Charlie Morton skeptic out of the three of us coming into the season.
Yeah, and he's been incredible.
In ways that are sustainable.
Somewhat, yes.
Health permitting. I mean, that's my biggest question for him. He wasn't healthy last year. He wasn't healthy the year before. Those are the 2 years where his velocity's kind of spiked at the level it's at now.
I'll say Morton, Lester, Arrieta.
Yeah, his average fastball velocity is up to 96.4. I think it's the fifth highest in baseball so far this season. I mean, this guy's touching 98, 99.
Now, what's interesting about what Heath just said is he put Lester ahead of Arrieta. When the debate for me was between Morton and Arrieta after the start Arrieta just had.
Oh.
And it's like
Arrieta's curveball yesterday was ridiculous.
His two-seamer was ridiculous. The movement he was just getting on his fastball was ridiculous. And if he can repeat that start after start, he doesn't need his own velocity. His old velocity, I mean. And he didn't have his old velocity back. It was still averaging mid 92,
yeah,
not 94 like 2 years ago.
Swing and strike rate for the season for Jake Arrieta is almost half of Charlie Morton's.
Yeah.
Charlie Morton's 16%. That's probably a little unsustainable, but he's been just absolutely ridiculous.
But again, last night, Arrieta got 11 swinging strikes just on that fastball. So, we got to see him do it again. But I think there's the potential here that I was a little too quick to write Arrieta off.
So, Heath, you went Greinke, Lester, Arrieta, Morton?
No, Greinke, Morton, okay. Lester, Arrieta.
And Scott?
I'm telling you about what Jake Arrieta did last night, Heath. Is it changing your mind?
No.
Okay. I would go Greinke, Morton, Arrieta, Lester.
And I think they're like Greinke is still 10 spots, 20 spots ahead of these guys, 15 mm-hmm. spots maybe.
How high are you willing to move Charlie Morton at starting pitcher, though?
I was just doing that. I think 24-ish.
Okay. So who's in the area with him?
John Lester, Jake Arrieta, James Paxton, Godley. These guys are Nola.
Okay.
Cueto.
Scott, are you moving Charlie Morton up?
I am moving Morton up, yes.
All right, let's talk about some other good pitchers on Thursday. Aaron Sanchez limited the Yankees to 2 runs in 6 innings, 7 hits, only 2 strikeouts, 2 walks. Matt Wisler, as we mentioned, 8 strikeouts in 7 innings, 1 earned run allowed. And Eduardo Rodriguez allowed 2 runs in 6 innings with 5 strikeouts and 3 walks. Rank those three. I know, Heath, you hate Aaron Sanchez.
I do hate Aaron Sanchez. It's well established why. Who am I ranking him with? Wisler and Rodriguez?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's first.
Okay.
Rodriguez is right in that same range.
Okay.
I think I would, like, I don't have a lot of confidence in Rodriguez staying healthy and being consistent. I think I know what Sanchez is. It just doesn't excite me at all.
Well, here's the problem with Sanchez and why I'm actually willing to move him behind Eduardo Rodriguez, who I think I do like more than you. But his velocity's been down a couple miles per hour in each of his last two starts in a row, not as much velocity. And obviously he hasn't been missing bats all season.
Yeah,
so
15 strikeouts and 25 and 2/3.
And he doesn't have that extreme ground ball rate he did. Well, actually the ground balls are kind of high. It's just, never mind. The ground balls are pretty high, but the stuff doesn't look quite the same, and he's not missing any bats. And Eduardo Rodriguez, I think, has the ability to do that in a way that's gone underappreciated.
I mean, Sanchez has never missed any bats.
Yeah, but it's kind of, well, he's missed bats. Like, how many strikeouts did he have 2 years ago? It was over 7/9. It wasn't a terrible rate.
Yeah, it was a little below average, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And this year, it's you know, he's been chin-meaning
long. Okay,
how do you
compare Aaron Sanchez to two guys who were bad last night, Jameson Taillon and Luke Weaver, who had their first bad starts of the season?
He's well behind them.
Not even in the same conversation.
Yeah.
Are Jameson Taillon and Luke Weaver in the John Lester, Zach Greinke conversation, or John Lester, Jake Arrieta conversation?
Yes. Yes, I think they are, especially Weaver.
He gave up 6 runs in 4 innings on 9 hits yesterday, but
yeah,
the Cubs are very good.
It was, in the way the Cardinals beat writer described it, death by a thousand cuts. It was, a lot of holes being found, and it's not like Weaver was getting knocked around out there. And it kind of was one of those snowball effect things, because after mixing in his curve a lot the first couple starts, it was a new pitch he developed. He worked on this spring and was throwing it as often as his changeup. He had to abandon it in this start just because he had to get things over the plate. So it seems like he gets a pass for this start for me.
Yeah, I had him below this group about 10 spots, more in the Kyle Hendricks, Sonny Gray range. Taillon was kind of in between the two. I'm a little bit, like, we were looking at it yesterday, and you were talking about how Jameson Taillon isn't striking anybody out, and so he was due for some negative regression. And
wait, what?
No, you weren't doing that. I was doing a thing.
Oh.
You remember when we talked about Jameson Taillon?
Yeah. Yeah, he's striking out plenty of people.
His swinging strike rate is awful.
Sure.
And it looks like it kind of caught up to him here.
Maybe. So the way I view Taillon, and he throws really hard, and you would expect a lot of strikeouts, and he has a healthy strikeout rate for his career. It's about average. This year it's been above average. The one thing he does exceptionally well is he induces a lot of weak contact. He's very much like Kyle Hendricks in that way, but he's a Kyle Hendricks who throws 95 instead of 85. But, you know, this was a bad start. There's no getting around that. And, you know, just
I kind of feel like the Pirates are doing to him what they did to Gerrit Cole, where they're just, he's throwing a two seam fastball more than his stuff suggests he should. Like, his secondary stuff is great, doesn't get to throw it enough. His four seamer is great. And we saw that the first start.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The Giants, the Pirates have this philosophy, pitch to contact, to go deeper into the game.
Didn't
I kind of feel
yesterday.
Like it's ruining Taillon.
Did not work yesterday.
That's my broad take.
He only threw
broad
1 2/3 innings yesterday.
Yeah.
Two other pitchers who were very bad yesterday. Alex Cobb has been not good to start his Baltimore
Orioles terrible.
Career. 5 earned runs on 10 hits, 4 strikeouts in 3 1/3 innings. The Tigers absolutely beat him up yesterday. Does Alex Cobb deserve to be owned? He's 64% owned right now.
He was owned yesterday by the Tigers.
Like, he's not going to be this bad all year.
No.
But you could probably make better use of that roster spot right now. I doubt this is the last time Alex Cobb is owned in a 12-team mixed league. I just don't know that there's much reason to preserve him right now.
And Nick Trapiano struggled in his second start of the season, allowed 5 runs and 5 1/3 innings. It was against the Red Sox, so that's kind of, they do that to everybody right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't take too much from this.
Would you rather have him or Alex Cobb?
Trapiano.
I'd rather have Cobb.
And Chase Anderson was kind of meh yesterday. He's been kind of meh this season. He's got a 3.25 ERA, but the strikeouts haven't been there the way they were yet last year.
Velocity hasn't been
down.
There. Yeah.
A little worried about Chase Anderson, one of the better breakouts of last season. All right, before we move on, let's talk about the draft app. We're going to talk about prospects first, but at the draft app, you just use regular major league players. You've heard Adam talk about the draft app. I also have the draft app on my phone, and I love playing daily fantasy baseball on draft. I like it because I get a new team every single night, and I get exposure to players that I don't have in my seasonal leagues. When you've got some teams that are doing as poorly as mine are in the season long, it's nice to be able to draft a roster every day. So you need to start playing on draft. Get into a real money draft for free if you use our promo code FB today when you make your first deposit on draft. Again, that promo is FB today. If you love fantasy baseball, you will definitely love this app. You get to do a snake draft every day as often as you like. For as little as $1, you can win cash and get paid out the next day. Download the draft app right now or go to draft.com. Our listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code FB today when you make your first deposit. Again, search draft in the app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code FB today. Scott, let's talk about some prospects.
Yeah.
You did the prospects report earlier this week.
I did
not get to it on yesterday's podcast. No. So let's do it today.
Nobody exciting has gotten called up yet. Like,
Mac
Williamson is the most reason we've had to get excited about it.
There are a lot of players we think are going to get. Like, we keep saying, boy, this is the one.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and then
it's still like, it could still be any week for Acuna. He just has to get hot. So that's obviously the most important one, but he's, you know, universally owned. Gleyber Torres, there was some rumblings about maybe him getting called up to take over at third base where the Yankees are missing Brandon Drury. And he's actually off to a good start in the minors this year after a rough spring. The Wednesday was the first day the Yankees could, or actually I guess it was yesterday, it was the first day the Yankees could call him up and retain a year of team control. Obviously they didn't. So we're still in a holding pattern there. Nick Senzel's off to a slow start. And it sounds like Eugenio Suarez isn't going to miss too much time. So I'm kind of skeptical that's going to happen. But he's still among my top prospects to stash. David Dahl, we talked about him yesterday. Legitimate 5-category potential, especially with his home games at Coors Field. But he probably needs 2 openings with Ryan McMahon already in the majors. Openings to break into the lineup.
You know what's frustrating about the Rockies?
What?
Their lineup's kind of bad. But I think Coors Field kind of covers that up a little bit. Like, beyond Arenado, Blackman, LeMahieu, the rest of the lineup's kind of crappy, right?
It's not.
Like, Trevor Story's okay.
It's not good, but, like, Blackman and Arenado are 2 of the best hitters in baseball.
Right, but you can still improve.
They could improve. They could improve by starting McMahon. They could improve by starting Dahl,
like,
I think.
For sure.
Which is why I think it's going to happen.
But that's what's frustrating, is that they have clear upgrades.
Yeah.
And they had clear upgrades coming into the season. It's not like Ian Desmond and Gerardo Parra are like, I mean, I know Desmond's making a lot of money, but those are not guys who should have locked down spots.
Those guys are probably making $30 million combined, aren't they?
Probably, yeah. That's a bad plan.
Tough to sit $30 million on the bench.
That's a bad plan, but that's frustrating because there are clear potential options to upgrade there.
Yeah,
that would be very exciting for fantasy. I think we would love to see Ryan McMahon and David Dahl get a shot. And it just doesn't seem like, if it hasn't, if not now, when?
Well,
later.
It's a long season.
Thank you.
We're maybe what? 1/8 into the season. Is that right?
About a 10th.
10th, even less than that. Yeah, it's a long season. It'll happen.
If it wasn't for all the rainouts, we'd be like halfway through this.
Yeah, maybe.
Any other prospects that you want to talk about?
So obviously Jack Flaherty's still a big stash, and will be the first one up whenever somebody goes down to the Cardinals rotation, which is inevitable. But otherwise, I mean, there haven't been, like, a lot of the other prospects who we talked about stashing before the season, Austin Hayes, Willie Calhoun, they're just not doing much in the minors yet. And a lot of that probably has to do with something that's been brought up for Acuna a lot. Minor league season started later compared to the start of the major league season, and then a pass because they started the major league season so early. There was a long layoff for all of these guys between spring training and when they started getting minor league at bats. So we're seeing a lot of slow starts down there.
Preston Tucker's not going to lose his job, right?
He's on fire.
Well, he is on fire.
You can't bench him right now.
He's actually tied, I think, with Harper in RBI. Yeah. He's like, you look at, like, I know Nick, there's an argument.
I'm not saying Preston Tucker should block Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
But he currently is.
I don't
think that's how it is. Well, no. I think if Acuna did what he was supposed to be doing in the minors, they'd have no issues benching Preston Tucker. I mean, one thing that gets overlooked here, because the Braves have only faced two left-handed pitchers somehow this season, Preston Tucker, they don't, like, even with Acuna down, they don't view him as an everyday player. They sat him against both the lefties they did face. So when they start facing more lefties, I think we'll see where their loyalties lie.
So Preston Tucker loses his job before Nick Markakis.
Yes. I mean, I know Nick Markakis is an unexciting player for fantasy purposes, doesn't have a lot of power from a corner guy, and that's annoying to have a lineup spot blocked by that. But look at his on-base percentage. And they seem to love him in the middle of the order. Because he doesn't strike out with men on base. He seems to be a pretty good RBI guy from that standpoint. And obviously he's making a lot of money. So I think he loses his job before Tucker.
All right, before we move on, we're going to preview week 5. We're going to get to some of your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. But before we move on, at the Real Mike Life has offered some name suggestions for the different groupings on the podcast. They're pretty good. Would you guys like to hear them? When Towers and Azer are together, Taser.
Taser, okay.
Taser, that's good.
When Scott and Heath are together, Scum.
Scum?
Scum?
Wait.
Where's that? Cummings.
Oh.
Okay.
He's mixing in last names and first names here.
Yeah. I thought he just didn't like us.
Scum.
White, Heath, and Azer. Weezer.
White, Heath, and Azer's Weezer. Okay.
Adam Azer and Heath Cummings are Adam Azings.
Why aren't we just Ham?
Adam Azings.
Ham.
And Towers, Heath, White, and Cummings. Teeth whitenings.
Towers, Heath, White, and Cummings?
Yes.
So I'm here twice.
I guess so. I just wanted to share that. I thought it was fun.
That was excellent. Thank you for that submission.
You know what else is excellent? Blue Apron. I've been doing Blue Apron a couple times a week. I just got my box yesterday. It's got some Parisian steak frites. I'm very excited for that. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Not only can you get great food from Blue Apron, you can get $30 off your first delivery if you go to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. That's blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Here's what I love about Blue Apron. The ingredients are fresh and non-GMO. Gets delivered right to my door. In my case, it sits at the front desk of my apartment building until I go pick it up, but it's great. They keep it cold. The meals take less than 45 minutes to make, and I get to eat meals that I would normally never make, like popcorn chicken with sweet chili cabbage slaw and seared steaks with lemon parmesan and roasted potatoes. They've got meat, pasta, shrimp, vegetarian options. There are plenty of recipes that you'll love on Blue Apron. So if you want to get started, go to blueapron.com/fantasybaseball. Get $30 off your first delivery. I love Blue Apron, and I know you will love it too. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's preview week 5. Week 5 in air quotes.
Week 6.
5.
Week 12.
That's week
Week five. The week that runs from April 23rd to April 29th.
It's definitely not week six. It may be week four for a lot of people listening
week
if they combine
four,
the half week with the first full week.
Week 4/23.
It's September 1st. All right, let's look at some of the...
September 1st.
Scott, do you have your hitting matchups yet?
I do not.
Okay, no. Let's talk about two start pitchers. I get it. You got work to do. You got to do it on Friday.
Yeah.
Two start pitchers. Guys who are available in, let's say, under 60% of leagues. Alex Cobb will be available in under 60% of leagues. I don't think he's someone that we're interested in, although he does have good matchups. Oof. Tampa Bay versus Detroit. Is there any chance you might start Alex Cobb?
Oh, it's not revenge game.
Not a chance.
Sure. Two revenge games.
Is it in Tampa?
It is at home.
No.
He's going to take revenge on you.
Zach Davies, 64% owned at Kansas City and at the Cubs. Any interest there?
No.
In a points league.
Vince Velasquez versus Arizona versus Atlanta.
I mean, with the kind of run he's on right now, I feel like this is the best of the options we've gone over so far.
Agreed.
Is there anybody else that you guys see?
No.
We talked yesterday about how bad Jake Faria's matchups are for this upcoming week and how there's no way you could trust him. And I'm not sure I'm totally on board with that.
At Baltimore, at Boston, he has a 6.92 ERA.
Yeah, but obviously his last two starts were good. Overcame the control issues that affected him the first two starts. And the bottom line is I have confidence in Jake Faria as a pitcher. And I feel like sometimes we make so much of the matchups, like they shouldn't trump how you feel about the pitcher. Ultimately, I'd rather start a good pitcher with bad matchups than a bad pitcher with good matchups. So I think among those less than 80% owned, Faria is probably my second favorite.
Mike Leake's a two-start pitcher?
Yes, but he has... he's got the White Sox and then at Cleveland.
Yeah, I'd start Mike Leake for sure.
51% owned Mike Leake, worth streaming. How about some lower-end guys? Brandon McCarthy has very good matchups. Well, one very good matchup and one pretty good one. At Cincinnati, at Philadelphia, would you rather have him or Mike Leake?
I'll go Leake.
Yeah, me too.
McCarthy or Faria?
Faria.
Faria.
Velasquez.
Velasquez.
Those look like bad matchups for McCarthy. Am I wrong? At Cincinnati, at Philadelphia?
Well, the Reds are just awful.
Yeah,
the Reds are awful. Phillies are tough.
That's a bad matchup. Phillies have a good lineup.
And they're both homer, like two of the worst parks for pitchers in baseball.
What about Tyler Mahle versus Atlanta at Minnesota?
No, I don't have a lot of faith in Mahle, to be honest.
Do we need to pay more attention and give more respect to Matthew Boyd? At Pittsburgh, at Baltimore, so...
With, like, I don't...
Mediocre-ish matchups, but he's been very good so far.
He has, in a way I don't trust, but... Like, if you're looking for a two-start streamer off the waiver wire, it's going to be a guy who's not fully trusted. That goes without saying. He's on a nice run. He had those. I mean, those. I know the Pirates got off to a great start offensively, but they haven't been as good recently. So those look like pretty good matchups.
I think he's probably going to explode. His Sierra.
That could go one way or the other.
His Sierra is higher.
He's the GOAT, right?
His Sierra is higher than his K per nine. That is a really, really bad piece of information.
Well,
he has a
how high is his K per nine?
Five.
Because if it was like one.
5.12.
Okay, so that's not very good.
He has a 98% strand rate, which basically means he's allowed one runner to score from on base this year. He's allowed a 132 BABIP. Just no chance this lasts. It might last two more games, but it's unlikely.
So that's a no.
No.
Scott, that's
He's still probably third on the list for me. Maybe fourth behind Leake. Yeah, let's put... among those names we've gone over so far, I would put him fourth.
I would rather
Velasquez, Faria, Leake. You would rather start Boyd over McCarthy?
Yes.
I would rather start every other name that you've said so far.
What about Erik Skoglund?
No.
Okay. I found one. Let's talk about some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. From Julian. Excuse me.
Looks like it's...
Azer put these emails in. Terrible, terrible formatting.
So the
no
from
separations
is, okay.
between the emails. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Come on, Adam. From Julian, what are your thoughts on trading Chris Sale and Luis Castillo for Carlos Carrasco and James Paxton in a head-to-head league?
Nope.
I don't really see the point. Like, Paxton's definitely better than Castillo. Sale's definitely better than Carrasco. But, like, the differences between all of them, I guess, would you rather have the ace?
I would rather
have the ace, for sure. I almost always prefer the side of the deal getting the best player.
From John in Austin, this one's actually from John in Austin, from Sil, La, and Bull, would you discuss your favorite outfield waiver wire options in a non-Roto league? Would you drop Puig for Thames, Hicks, Herrera, Odubel Herrera, or Michael Brantley? Would you drop Yasiel Puig for any of those guys? I wouldn't. Brantley and Herrera are interesting, especially in head-to-head points because of the plate discipline, but Yasiel Puig's plate discipline's fine, too.
I think I'd rather have Brantley in points.
You know what? Like, I wrote a column yesterday, Fantasy Fool's Gold, and I led it with Eric Thames. But he's talking about a shallow league here, a non-roto league.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd be willing to sacrifice Puig for in that, like, a league of that shallowness. Be willing to sacrifice him for Thames just to see where it goes.
All right, Mike wants to point out that Javier Baez's walk rate looks like it's around 10%, but it's really 3.3%. This was before yesterday's game. Four of his six walks were intentional. I looked it up yesterday. When he has batted between first and sixth in the lineup, he has a .281 career on-base percentage and like a 4% walk rate. He actually has like 30 career intentional walks batting out of the 7, 8, and 9 spots. So something to keep in mind, his apparent improvement in plate discipline.
That's a good catch.
Has not necessarily been what it seems to be. But however,
that's it.
He is striking out less. He's swinging and missing less. He's going the opposite way or more often. Yesterday, I think he had a triple.
Harder contact, more fly balls, more line drives.
And
everything but the walks.
His manager basically said it's happening and said if he lays off the low and away pitch, he's Manny Ramirez.
And to be fair, he's still swinging and missing a lot. He's not Manny Ramirez.
We've never seen Joe Maddon say anything about any Cubs players that didn't turn out to be completely and totally true.
That is 100% factual. From Rob, hello, Catboy, Owlet, and Gecko. Is that's something?
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's probably animated.
Yeah, that seems like a fair guess. I'm in a 10-team head-to-head categories league and overrun with first baseman. I like that visual. It's like Jurassic Park, but like Justin Bour and Matt Carpenter. Even with corner infield and utility positions, he just has too many guys. Carlos Santana, Rhys Hoskins, Justin Bour, and Yonder Alonso. Would it be ill-advised to drop Yonder Alonso for a guy who's hot at the plate right now, like Cesar Hernandez, Matt Joyce, Matt Kemp, Steve Pierce, or Ether? The only one that I would consider dropping Yonder Alonso for is Cesar Hernandez, just because he gives you the stolen bases a little bit. He's a good batting average guy.
Yeah, what I would say is you're not going to need Yonder Alonso. So
probably not. So you would drop Yonder Alonso before Justin Bour?
I would.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Those two are close for me. I do agree Cesar Hernandez needs to be owned over one. I'd probably drop Bour just because of the limitations of his lineup. By the way, I looked it up, Catboy, Owlet, and Gecko. It is an animated... They are characters from the animated show PJ Masks about six-year-old vigilantes.
Yes, I have watched that show, actually.
Too young to be
multiple
vigilantes.
Multiple times.
Yeah?
Lucas likes that show a lot, yes.
Too young to be vigilante.
It is too young to be a vigilante. It's dangerous out there, kids.
Dear Joker, Penguin, and Scarecrow, from an animated thing. Should we be concerned about Wilson Contreras? No home runs yet and doesn't seem particularly special. Brian does not think Wilson Contreras is special. He hasn't really heard us talk about him on the podcast. What do we think?
We haven't talked about him because we don't have any concerns. Wilson Contreras is special. Wilson Contreras is going to be fine.
Contreras to popular belief.
And just to point out, the one limitation in his game before this season was probably that he had too many ground balls. He had a 54% ground ball rate. in 2016 and 2017. That's down to 44%.
So he should do it again.
He's hitting more balls in the air, not getting power production from it yet, although he does have some doubles, so it's not like he's been a nothing. So no concern.
Tales of a fourth grade nothing.
Wilson Contreras.
I'm sorry. These things just come to me, and I have to say them out loud.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think that's a good place to end the podcast.
Looking forward to your outro.
This is it. That's just the podcast is done. Thanks for listening.
It's ruined.
We'll see you on Monday. Have a nice weekend.